Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. You know, that talk show that is made for men by men, and women never want to miss it. And we come to you live every Sunday. Oh, had another computer voice sound on. We come to you Sunday. And we talk about life, love, relationship, health, money, and we always, and even social challenges. We do it from a man's perspective. It is, a man's perspective is the voice that is not always heard in the society, in our society in the U.S. And Straight Talk was created so that men could speak the way men speak. And for the ladies who want to really understand men, well, this is the best place in the world to understand how men really think so that you can understand men and get rid of many of the complexities that we have between men and women. So tonight, I want to talk about your health. That's a big conversation, and I want to talk about it in the context also of wealth and how health and wealth come together. And I'm not going to do this on my own. I actually have a guest. Before I bring in my guest, here we go. I want to talk about, we live in a country, or we live in an age, a day and time where some people say information overload. There is so much information on anything. I mean, on some extreme side, you can go on the internet and learn how to make a bomb. So if you can learn how to make a bomb, you better believe there is a ton of information on how to care for your body, care for your mind, care for your money. And we're seeing all kinds of correlations between a healthy lifestyle, healthy mindset, and your financial life. And I'd like to bring those together. The challenge is there's so much information. You have people out there who say, read this book and it's the diet that will help you lose weight, lose 50 pounds, and it shows you all the before and afters. And people read the book and still they don't lose weight, or they lose 10 pounds and gain it back and lose 10 again and then gain back 20. Then you get the trainers who will give you the perfect abs and they tell you about all the foods to eat. So we've been inundated with so much stuff, and everyone has sort of a gimmick. And I don't know if people really understand how food really can be medicine. And I'm not saying that in the sense of food can heal you. I'm not about to promote anything about if you eat an apple a day and it keeps the dentist away, or you eat certain kinds of foods and it's going to cure you of cancer. However, there is a correlation between the food you eat, the mindset you have, the body you have, and how that body is able to function in the world and accomplish things that you want to accomplish. Often people with very poor health have a difficult time taking on all the things that they'd like to take on in life. So I'd like to bring on a guest who has mastery over looking at food, nutrition, how to keep your body healthy with food. We'll look at exercise. And we're also going to take a look at the thing that so many of us love. It's a tool that allows us to get from point A to point B in life and travel and have freedom, and that's your financial health. So her name is Coach Kenya, And some of you may have heard her. She joined me on Instagram Live one time and had, and you all loved her. So let me bring on Coach Kenyon. I think you guys, ladies and gentlemen, are going to be very impressed. I had a very good conversation with her. I've watched many of her Instagram. If you're not following her, I suggest you do that. Coach Kenyon.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, hey, hey.
You look great. And is that sunshine in the back there?
Sweetie, I am in Texas, and I was really like you because I was literally sunbathing at 4 o'clock, trying to get as much sun as I possibly could coming from Chicago, which I pray is sunny there for them. We need all the sun we can get. But, yes, that is, look.
That's sunshine.
That's the real vitamin B right there.
And you look behind me, we've just had rain. But, you know, they tell us April is full of showers so that we can get flowers in May. So April is doing its thing. But you've got sun, so I'm a little envious. That looks great back there.
Well, it's going to rain all in North America in April. So and we do need it here because, you know, you hear people say, oh, my God, it's such an ugly day outside today. Well, that cannot possibly be true because we need the rain for moisture. Just imagine if we were just all shriveled up because we weren't getting any water. We're 80% water. So, I mean, we're going to unpack this conversation in a minute, but part of health is the fact of what comes out of our mouths. Like, are we appreciative of all the weather? Or just some of it. You know what I mean?
You know, that's interesting. So I spent a little time with the Hopi Indians in Arizona, and they live up in the desert up in the mountains, 6,500 feet above sea level.
Okay.
And they say, and I was there twice, October and February. And February, you may get 85 degrees in a day, and at night it's 30 degrees. So that temperature just drops because you're in the desert. But what they said to me is they love snow in the wintertime because the snow, like, so, you know, Chicago, you all probably say, oh, my God, more snow. But for them, living in the desert, and they actually plant crops out there, the snow, they said, sits on the earth, you know, it protects it. And then when it melts, it makes the soil a lot softer, so it's easier to plant. So they need more than rain. They want snow.
See, and that perspective, like, that means a lot.
Right.
So a lot of us should just maybe, and I'm not here to preach. I'm not. But, you know, quit our bitching. Can I say that on your show? I don't know if you can say that or not.
God.
I tell you what, no, real talk, because all of this is health. It is all health. Like,
how
you see the world. I never forget, I was in an Uber with some Indian folks, and we were complaining about I was complaining about the streets in Chicago and how they were so raggedy and bumpy, like potholes everywhere. And then it turned to me and they said, oh,
you have paved roads?
Right, yeah. So it's like, you know, kind of quit our business, you know what I mean? And that's a huge part of health. And, you know, my oldest son and I, we argue about this a little bit, but I tell him, you know, because I've heard it somewhere. We all heard something somewhere, right? The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. Have you heard that? And he goes, Mom, that's not true. You know, what do you mean the way you do? The way you do one thing is the way you do that one thing. It doesn't mean it's the way you do everything. Well, you know, maybe there's some wiggle room in that argument, but truth be told, the way you do one thing is more than likely the way you do everything.
I say the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So
yeah.
If you're a person who takes shortcuts, you take shortcuts. You may have one thing where you don't, but you're a shortcut person. If you're angry, you're an angry person.
You're just mad.
Right. You're just a mad person. And you might know where to turn it off. You know, when couples say to me, oh, you know, how could I not yell? I say, all right, so imagine you and your spouse, you're arguing, and blah, 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 you're going back and forth, and the doorbell rings unexpectedly. What do you do when you answer the door? Do you go answering the door angry with him? You're like, oh, hi, I haven't seen you. All of a sudden, all the anger and everything is gone just like that, and you answer the doorbell, and you're nice to the people.
You know what? That is so funny because I love them. I'm not going to mention their names. They know who they are, and I love them so much, but every time I come over, I ring the doorbell, or we knock, because the doorbell doesn't work. I knock, and then somebody always goes, how is it? Like, I'm being nice right now. I don't want to scream where I am. And I'm like, it's me. And then they go, oh. And it's like, why are you pissed off? All you're doing is answering your front door. Why are you mad? And it's kind of funny, and I hope that one thing that comes out of our talk today is if people, never for me in a preachy way, but just begin to take notice of how they're navigating throughout the world, particularly when it comes to health, and that's going to be mental, and that's
right.
going to be physical.
So yeah. Before, I'm going to show people your book, before I do that, so I'm going to say this. I say this to people. The world doesn't occur as it is. It occurs as you are. So you don't see, you may not see what someone else sees because the way you are is going to be projecting it onto it. So you can only see things the way you are. So the world,
right.
it's something is occurring, but you may not see everything because of the way you are.
Mm-hmm. I just had this conversation with some dude on Facebook. I try, you know, every once in a while I'll jump on there and something will catch my eye, and then I'll have to do my Coach Kenya thing and give my little 2 cents, right? I never do it in anything but love. It's all got to be love, because I'm not going to argue with
so
a stranger.
2 cents, maybe it's time for you to start doing some upgrades here, right? More than 2 cents, right?
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
Go ahead. Sorry. I had to say that. Go ahead, sorry.
Okay. And we were talking about this post, and I had done my comment, and then he commented back. I don't remember exactly what it was about, but the bottom line was, I said, you know what, people, he said something like, well, I'm glad that's the way you see it. And it was like, yeah, bro, people can only see through their own eyes. You know, that's why it shouldn't be so unusual. Like, people talk, well, why is she doing this that way, or why is he doing that way? Because that's what they know and that's what they see. And people, that's a huge statement, that people can only see through their own eyes. So just makes sense. So it's just to your point, I wanted
right.
to say that.
Yep. Exactly. So that you sound like you said common sense isn't so common.
I didn't say that. You did. I'm the nice cop. You be the mean cop.
So let me be nice. Let me do an advertisement real quick. Can you all
okay.
see this book? So over here on Instagram, you all may know Coach Kenya. What's going on, Justin Country Boy? I see you guys. Romeo in the house. SW, thanks for joining. So we have a very special guest. I've got to maneuver this. Seems like everything goes the wrong way. When I go right, it goes left. So
you're dead on. I see you. You're dead on.
Okay. Right. Oh, you don't want to see me. You just want to see the book. I got it. Okay.
Oh.
Right. So, what's food got to do with it? You guys heard of a song almost like that, but you can sing this
yeah.
title, I think. What's food got to do with it? And you see, it's Coach Kenya Catlin.
Catlin, but that'll work.
Okay.
I'm more concerned about, like, my hair. I don't know what it's doing right now. Let me just fix it. Okay, there we go.
You look great.
Right.
You look great. You look
Thank
like
you.
Sunshine behind you, so don't worry.
There you go. Thank you.
So I've followed her on Instagram. If you're not following her, just check her out. And it's going to be under Coach Kenya. Is that where you have more than one, right?
Instagram. Well, no, I'm not supposed to. My new phone did something and created an imposter. So we're trying to fix that now as we speak without losing the content.
Okay.
On Instagram, it is Coach Kenya Catlin. I will say, and I didn't really come on here to do that, just more to educate, but if you're going to follow me because we're getting ready. So I'm working with a strategy team out of Colorado, and we're getting ready to send this message bigger than ever. So, yeah, I mean, the technology is where it is. So, yeah, go ahead and follow me. But right now at this moment, don't get upset with me because I'm not on there all day, like, answering people back and stuff like that. So give me some time to get there.
Well, you made some time for me in the face of sunshine.
Always.
Always on vacation. So we appreciate your presence today. So we're going to talk about some of the stuff in here from healthy body, food. Now, I say something that you don't necessarily say, but food can be like medicine in many different ways, not just physical body, also for your mental well-being. But so I'm not saying food is here to heal you. I'm saying that food plays a huge role in your mental and physical well-being. And your mental and physical well-being plays a huge role in your financial success, your health, your wealth in life. So they come together. So Coach Kenya and I are going to have a conversation, and I think some people may want to engage you in this conversation.
Absolutely.
We're going to just hold one second, Kenya.
Yeah, I'm punching. If you guys see me punching around too, I'm probably looking up something for you or.
Okay. What's going on in territory? Sudada, good to have you guys in the house. Area code 605. 605, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Yeah, my name's Joe.
Hey, Joe. Do you have a question for Coach Kenya? Because I have a few questions for her. But did you have one you'd like to ask?
No, not right now. I don't know. I haven't heard the discussion yet.
Okay.
But I wanted to comment on something you said last week, but I'll wait until this discussion's over with.
All right. Perfect. Hey, I appreciate
it. Go ahead. It's not insulting to me to follow up on last week's topic. I'm okay. We got time.
All right. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. You had said last week that chivalry, isn't that something, was something that was given to women by the men of the upper class, by, I guess, you know, the kings and the princes, et cetera. What you had said reflected 99% of what I had always thought, but I never called it chivalry. I always called it the term lady, as when women always want to refer to themselves as ladies or princesses, I would tell them, you are not the lady of the manor. You are not born in a castle. So I could go on for a few minutes, but that's all I wanted to say.
All right. Appreciate that, Joe. I saw you call last week. I missed you. Sorry. Go ahead, Kenya.
This is so fun. Okay. Yeah, he just needed to get that off his chest. That's what's up. And
yeah.
He probably just dodged a heart attack because he got that off his chest. And that is what health is all about. Yes.
No, I wasn't going to die of a heart attack. I was just here, and I thought maybe I would make a comment from last week.
I'm teasing you, Joe.
Oh, okay. All right, because I don't know. Sometimes women, you know. I'll put myself on mute, and I'll let you guys get that.
And so Joe is calling from Blog Talk Radio. For anyone who'd like to call in, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. So Joe can't see you. He's on a line. Lando in the house. Good to see you. Scobe, yes, your Uncle Ted, you have an Aunt Kenya here, and we're going to talk about health. So Now that Joe has got that off, I appreciate it, Joe, for following up. Sorry we didn't get to have that conversation last week, but thanks for following up.
No problem.
Thanks for following up.
I'll put myself on mute.
Joe, thank you. I was just being fun-loving, darling. I love the comment.
Well, like Ted says, I don't know. You know, some women, they get a little bit upset over men making comments that don't seem to agree with them. So, and no problem. Guys. I'll just put myself on mute.
When you see me, Joe, you can open the door for me and you can pay for my dinner. Okay? I don't think
That's nice, kind of. That'll be the day. But I'll put myself on mute. All right. Thanks.
Are we out of Jersey right now? Are we out of New York right now? And are people calling from everywhere, Ted, or just like the immediate area? Because you guys are fun.
Well, Joe is in Montana.
Oh, Montana. Okay.
I'm in New Jersey. I'm in the most expensive state in the country.
Is that Jersey or New York? That's confusing sometimes.
New York City is expensive. As a state, New Jersey is the most expensive. See, when you leave New York City, it gets cheap. It's you get out in the wilderness and a country. New York State is a big state. Just like Illinois is big, you know. So.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I think.
All right, so we got a few people calling in. So let's start with health. What is health?
Okay, so don't you just love when people say, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked, right? So in the book, I think it's page 62, you'll see this wonderful plate, and it talks about, I wish I had the book in front of me too, but I don't. It talks about your plate. Right there in the middle of that plate is, you know, the macros, which is the protein, carbs, and fat that you should eat. It's on the side, it talks about how much water you should drink. But on the parameter of that plate, and you can see it, I haven't memorized my book. I haven't read it like that, but you'll see things like...
That's 62, right there.
Well, just keep flipping. Maybe 92, I don't know, but there's a picture of a plate in there somewhere. It is... Are things like finance. Yeah, that's it. And I can't see that from here. But finance is in there. Community is in there. You can just really tell me. Movement is in there. What's around the circle of that plate?
So body divine plate, it's you have veggies 50%, fruit 10%, nuts, seeds, and grains 10%, animal protein 20%. And around that, you have faith, relationships, movement, self-love, financial fitness, community. And then on the side, you have these three circles that say water, fats and oils, dairy, and miscellaneous.
Right. So if we really look at what is health, then we've got to look at all that. We can't just look at the peas and the carrots and the push-ups. Because it's very difficult for me to ask anyone to eat right and exercise when they go home to a very chaotic situation. For instance, and I don't want to pick on Chicago, but it's part of what I know. It's not all I know, but it's part of what I know. I mean, people would go out and ride their bikes if folks were driving down residential streets doing 80 miles an hour. Or if there were bike paths. So health becomes bigger, and you jump in whenever you want, but it's bigger than just the peas and the carrots and push-ups. It's bigger than whether or not you took a yoga class or whether or not you ate a salad last Tuesday at 3 o'clock. And I get that too, believe it or not. I never forget going into a Chinese food place on the south side of Chicago, and there's this really big dude. And I play with people a lot, and I said, where are your vegetables? He had like 10 egg rolls and a big old thing of rice and some Mongolian beef. And he was very serious when he thought that the bean sprouts in the rice, the little bitty specks of bean sprout in the rice was his vegetable. And believe it or not, it's not that unusual. It's not that unusual that people don't know that what macros are. Like, we could maybe throw that question out. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but we could throw that question out. Go ahead.
Let's take a step back because we're getting questions. People want to know who you are. So let's take a step back. You're from Chicago. You're a coach. People want to know what kind of coach. Did you get formal training? Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely, I did. I'm not going to go all the way back in my education, but I got a couple of degrees. They're not hanging on the wall, so what kind of person am I? I don't know. As far as my training as a health and wellness coach, I've been in practice really all my life, but I've been in practice officially in Texas since 2009. And one of the things that makes me really good, if I do say so myself, at what I do is I'm a constant student because I'm constantly working on my own health. And so as I work on my own health, I'm able to learn more and help others. As far as any formal training in the world of nutrition, I went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition out of New York City. It is the largest nutrition school in the world, and we focus and we practice what we call bio-individuality. I happen to emphasize nutrition and healthy lifestyle, but different health coaches do different things. Some are yoga instructors, some are lobbyists, trying to get GMOs out of the food supply. So different coaches do different things. I have a plethora of continuing education units in everything from gut health to, women's reproductive health. You name it, I'm going to be looking at it. But I think my real experience comes from, I feel like I'm running for office right now. My real experience comes from the hundreds and hundreds of people that I have had the blessing and the privilege to help with their health and their weight loss over the last 11 and a half years. Wow. And that is a big number and something that we really can't even measure.
Very good. Thank you. And someone said they are an alumni of IIN themselves. Do you all have like a mascot?
We're the best. Yeah, we're the best.
Or school
song? We are. Yeah.
Very good. Good. So that gives people a sense of who you are. So you are formally trained in nutrition. So you have. Can her services be coded for? What is that? I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means?
Say it again.
Can her services be coded for?
Coded for. I think maybe they got a typo in there. Maybe retype it.
I don't know
if they're asking me about remote services. I do remote services. So I work in Texas, Chicago, and Atlanta. I'll be doing some work in other parts of the country pretty soon here. It's pretty exciting.
All right. Medical coding, you said.
They may be asking, can we take insurance? They may be asking in a medical kind of way, which I don't really speak medical language. I speak health language. But they may be asking if they wanted to come see me, which is not an unusual question, they're not cleaning that question up. I'm just guessing, but could the insurance?
Is that what you mean?
I don't know if that's what they're asking. I'm guessing.
So your training, your experience, the way you work with clients is beyond just food and nutrition. So there is an environment that supports health is what it sounds like you're saying also.
Well, I have a health coaching studio, and I want everybody to – I want to take off my glasses. They're driving me crazy, but when I take them off, I can't see. Ted, please note this. When we work on what you eat and some exercise, everything changes, darling. Not for 3 days, though. For 6 months. For 3 months. For some people who have been with me for 2 years. I've had people who've been with me as long as 5 years. When you, and I don't know why you won't say it, because you mentioned a couple times in the intro, you don't want to say that food, and that's okay, because I'm about to say that, food, and that's Hippocrates. Let food be thy medicine. Food is medicine. If you think about, and I want to get back to the question, you know me, I go off a little bit on tangents, but if you think about the cup of coffee in the morning for folks who drink it, they drink it, they perk right up, right? Right? They get jittery. That's all that blowing, horn blowing in traffic and whatnot. That's excessive caffeine use. When you think about those shots of tequila, after 2 or 3 shots, your whole personality changes, right? If you think about a person who's got a gluten insensitivity or sensitivity, that person literally inside their body, they may not necessarily be able to feel it right away, but there's some really shaky things going on. And so food is medicine. You think about weed, you think about cigarettes, you think about all of that and how it goes into your body and creates the reaction. The thing about a poor diet over time, and you can't see it, you can't measure it. And so people take it for granted, but the manifestation usually shows up in weight loss, weight gain. So over time, I mean, you didn't come into the world 50 pounds overweight. You didn't. You didn't come into the world 150 pounds overweight. You didn't.
Right, right.
You didn't come into the world as a man. Well, babies do have cute little big stomachs, but they're babies. But as a man, you didn't come into the world pregnant. You come into the world with a big old stomach. And so that is a manifestation of the power of food.
So
but that's the negative end.
Let me ask you a question. I was reading about there are doctors who are, and it's a small amount of doctors who are exploring mindset and health conditions. So they were starting to see a correlation between, it's been years since I've read it, withholding love and diabetes. Like they were finding correlations between anger, between certain mindsets, certain behaviors, and certain health conditions. Now, I know that's a little bit off nutrition, but...
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. It's not.
Then that's, I'm taking that as being a mental nutrition, a mental diet, right? Like the...
Okay. So there is... First of all, there's more information than ever before, right? They've got food scientists and public health officials, so many different things going on where we're not really studying nutrition in terms of manufacturing as much anymore, even though that's going on to genetically modified foods and things like that. But right now, there's a big push to try to figure out the 700 nutrients in broccoli, right? 700. God's food, the food that he created and made for us, and we can get into being a vegan later. That's completely not necessary, but overconsumption of meat is a problem, but you don't have to be a vegan. And so there's a huge push and a huge study to look at the nutrients and what they actually do in the body. Look, we just spent the last 50 years completely destroying our bodies with the permission of the Federal Food Administration, FDA, and they just didn't know that when they mass produced chickens and didn't let them run around on the range freely, because we can still eat the chicken, but when you stuck them and shot them out with hormones and put them together with disease and antibiotics, just didn't know how that was going to play out in the human body.
Right.
But
right.
See, now we know. Like, we know. And the study and the push is towards everything healthy. Right now, the average American could live, if they wanted to really do the work, could live to about 105 years old. Now, back on the ranch, in certain areas all over North, well, it's not even just North America, all over the world, you've got people who tend to be poor that I can't say they don't have the information. I think maybe they just don't know how to break the cultural crush, like the cultural habits that they're in. I mean, it's a real hard thing to tell a family who's used to drinking Remy Martin and Grey Goose and eating macaroni and cheese and potato salad and string beans and meatloaf and fried chicken and cornbread and having cake after to get, because that's the way they celebrate. So maybe, just maybe, what we could do is we could not preach to them, but we can let them know, you know, you might just want to do that one Sunday a month. Because if you do that every single Sunday and plus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you guys are having Wendy's and pizza and, you know, your kid's getting fat. And I know you're not supposed to say the word fat anymore because we can't be real anymore about what things really are, but I can still do it because I work for myself and I'm not going to fire myself. Your kid's getting fat and that's not normal and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If we could really have and unpack these conversations, we could change whole communities. But dig this place in. In communities where you don't have anything, you could look at that and you could say, oh my God, we don't have anything in our community. Oh, woe is me. But to me, when you're in a community that doesn't have anything, that's an opportunity to get everything. So what health coaching does is health coaching is a huge opportunity in a world where medicine rules, right? And sick people inundating the emergency rooms and the healthcare system, they are inundating them. We know what to do now. And it becomes a question of, are folks going to do it? And I'm starting to sound preachy, and that's what I don't want to do. I'm just wanting to give the information.
What you just said is something that I do want to address, you know, whether people will do it. So, you're unpacking a large conversation. So
it's a big one, baby.
Right.
It's big.
So we spent 50 years reducing the cost of growing food and you know, animals, right? Fowl, beef, pork, all of that. We reduced the cost on it, except we offset it by increasing healthcare costs because it ruined the health of a lot of people. Now we're known as the fattest country on the planet. We have the most overweight people on the planet right now. So now this guy who was asking, here's his question. The medical system now recognizes health coaching. There is a set of criteria that must be satisfied. And then he said, there are now medical codes that allow for health coaching as a billable business. This is important for coaches to work with physicians. Not every patient can afford our services. And he said what I was saying was epigenetics about mindset and health. So that's what he's asking about coding. Do you work with physicians?
Was that the question that we didn't understand at first?
Correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. So I can only speak from my practice. In my practice, I got a ton of people who couldn't, they just couldn't afford it. They hadn't put any money aside for help. And so they couldn't afford it. And I hated it. One of the things we're about to do is we're about to take two things that are about to happen. One is, it's called Care Credit, which is the credit card all the girls are using to, you know,
right.
get their waist put in their booty. And which is cool. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that if you can afford it. And then the other is actually physically taking insurance and so and building out what that's going to look like. Because with the taking of insurance, I'm able to help a lot more people, but I also have to stay true to my clientele. So we'll build out what that looks like. But yes, yes, and yes again, being able to, I wish I could talk to that person more, but I know it'll come up as my assistant is doing the research. Being able to be a legitimate code in the medical system is huge, because it's an opportunity to help a hell of a lot more people.
Okay, very good, very good. So I want to start asking about men's health, and I know a few of you guys called in. And just quick question, can you take FSA was the question to back up?
I do not know what that acronym is, but if it is having to do with being able to take insurance providers, the answer is it is pending for my practice in Chicago. It is pending. And I'll be honest with you, though, I'm not that expensive where, you know, you just should never be able to afford me. I'm not going to throw out rates because I'm not talking to that person one-on-one, but I do remote coaching, and I mean, it's affordable. And also you're going to save money because you save money on groceries. You know, the average person spends about $800 to $900 a month if they eat out a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. So he'd like to have a conversation with you. Scott, Rory, go ahead. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you hear me? It sounds like you have a little noise in the background. Sudata, Roy, can you hear?
Is this Sudata Roy?
It is. Did you? All right.
You tickle me, Ted. I think if we ever got together in person, we would just be laughing all.
I'm not sure what happened. Did you mean to do this, Sudata?
Where are you,
right,
buddy?
I'm gonna put you on mute, man. Okay.
Hopefully he's in the bathroom. Hey, I did not. I did tell you I have to hop out off right before 7.
You not?
Uh oh, I muted you for a second. I have to hop off right at about 7, but
okay.
I did not ask you, tell you that I wanted to make sure that I end with some tips. I didn't put that in our show notes.
Okay.
And I really want to make sure that I give these tips to the gentlemen.
Let's talk about the difference between men's health compared to women.
I wrote some notes on it because I didn't want to miss anything. And this is straight out the book. First, the first difference, don't let anybody tell you anything different, is structural. Our structures are different. Our chromosomes are different. Men are, and Y, and women are double X, period, end of story. I'm not going to get into politics.
Right. I think most people
I'm
know
not
that.
Do it. Yeah.
Let's talk about health and diet and how and exercise. How does that make a difference?
Okay. I'm driving there.
Okay.
Men have a lower lifespan. So women tend to live about 7 years longer than their men. Okay? We just do.
Right.
I don't know if it's stress related. We don't really know.
Some people say
men
testosterone. Testosterone drives men to early death.
Well, testosterone is a hormone, and it's a male hormone, right?
Right.
But that's a correlation. That's not a causation.
Okay.
So the real truth is what causes a man to experience low T. Because you just don't get it. I mean, you just don't, oh, I woke up one day, I'm a man, and I got low T, okay? So there's some contributing factors. So let's not confuse correlations with causation. Men, I'm unpacking it. So men even die at birth more than women do. So these
That's
are just
right.
some differences that we
really?
Have.
Wow.
Men, go ahead.
I just said, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's in the book, too, and I know I just got it to you. So men tend to have more blood pressure issues, right? And nobody really knows if this is an internal thing, like if it's just the DNA or the makeup of the male structure, or if men have really intense thoughts. I mean, I've never been a man, and there never, to my knowledge, been any studies to really go into the depths of a man's mind to see if that's why his blood pressure is often a little bit higher than a woman.
Let me give you a fact. Women actually have higher anxiety and depression than men because of the way our brains function. It looked like
You're locked up.
It's your connection. You're locked right now.
What does that mean? I'm locked.
Your screen is frozen. You're not even. It's like I'm not seeing you live. I'm seeing you 3 seconds. You're chopping.
Yeah, you are too.
No, you're locked up on a screen, which means your connection is not good.
I haven't done anything different. You back? Can you hear me?
Now you're unlocked. Now you're clear.
Yeah, you were chopping up too. I haven't done anything different. Maybe it's just the technology. So what were you saying, something about women? And anxiety?
So women are 3.5 times more likely to attempt suicide because of the way the difference between a man and woman's brain is women worry more. So in the same exact situation, they've done this tens of thousands of people in neuroimaging, women are more worried about things than men are. And so as a result, women have higher anxiety. So I'm saying that it's the neuroscience is women are more likely to be depressed and higher anxiety, yet factually also men have higher blood pressure.
I think it could be the men that's making the women all stressed out. But that's a different show, honey. So.
Wait a second. Here's why that doesn't work. I'll tell you why. Because now, as our society, former President Obama gives us now some real statistics by allowing gay marriage. Two men married, 20% divorce rate. Two women married, 45% divorce rate.
I think it's higher than that when two men marry. They don't stay married. I love you guys so much, but they don't stay married.
Men have less than not even half of the women divorce at 45%. And men only divorce at 20%.
Men only 20 in the LGBT. Really, I thought it was higher than that,
nope.
Bro.
That's the women. It's the women that's higher. It's 45%. And when you do the research, the women are saying the same thing about women that men are saying about women.
I don't know what point you're trying to make right now, but okay.
Men are not driving women crazy.
I can't even have a relationship with a man. I dare not try a woman. So I would be divorced very quickly.
Women worry about things that men don't worry about. They've done neuroimaging and they put man and woman side by side in the same scenario, same time in the same room. And a woman's brain lights up all over the place, and a man's brain is focused. And a woman is worried about things, and a man is not even concerned about.
So the man goes
straight for what he wants, and a woman is like, oh my God, what about this? What about that? What about that? So men commit more suicide than women, except women.
Wait, who commits more, men or women?
Men commit more suicide, but women attempt it 3.5 times more than men.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that, but it makes perfect sense. And so what I was saying about the blood pressure is there may be some real internal type stress. Like a man is not worried about whether the dishes are washed. Usually a man aren't worried about whether the dishes are washed. but they may have some deep concern about whether or not they can be a provider, about those type of things. So men, one of the differences is that men tend to organically go into a state of higher blood pressure, particularly when they get a little older. Men also have a higher basal metabolic rate, which means they have the opportunity to burn fat faster. So when you see a man with a lot of body fat, know that he had to knowingly or unknowingly work very hard to get that. That wouldn't be a natural occurrence for a man.
Really? Well, so I get what you're saying, that a male's body should naturally burn off fat. And when he gets fat, he's working against his own nature, and he's working.
Well, let me just throw this in real quick. I'm like Dick Gregory. I love when a person has been told that they have one of the itises, colitis, diverticulitis, bronchitis, colitis. I love when somebody has been told that they have hypertension or diabetes or digestive disorders. Here is why I love it, and this is straight out the mouth of Dick Gregory. It is God's way of warning you that you are on your way to a breakdown. It is the check engine light in your Maserati. Mm-hmm. And so what I hate is when folks start to believe at ages 40, 50, 60, et cetera, that it is the norm because a family member had it. They had it. Because you know you guys both have it the whole family has it because y'all are eating the same type of diet, right? That's why you have so just when you, I'm saying all of that to say this, Ted, when a person finds out that they have a chronic illness, a dietary illness, right? Meaning you got in this situation because of your diet. And it's going to be your diet that gets you out of this situation. You got to back up and turn into reverse.
Now, I want to say something, and I want you to spend your last few minutes.
I'm going to go ahead and say we got too much to unpack.
Time flies. So here's what I want to say. People always say, "Give me the solution. How do we remedy this?" And I think that's a huge error that people just say, "Give me the solution." Because if you don't understand the problem, you may not understand the solution. So as you unpack the problem, a lot of times the solution is in the unpacking of the problem, right? So what you were doing just now is unpacking the problem, right? So we're pointing to food, we can point to environment, we can point to mindset, you know. So let's unpack a few more problems. So men have these proclivities for high blood pressure, more stroke. But, you know, what's interesting is women take more leadership positions with high responsibility. A lot more women are starting to have high blood pressure, losing hair. Alcoholism. Did you know the fastest growing segment of the population of heroin users is women who earn high income? I mean, it's so women are starting to find out what it's like to be in the lane of a guy.
And part of that has to do, I think, with that's interesting information too. I don't really study that side of it, but very interesting information is, as we began to, you know, branch out in a thought process that says, you know, we're equal, and we are. I mean, don't get me wrong, we are equal, we're getting what we're asking for, basically. We want to be so equal that we're going to start seeing the same stuff happen to. I mean, there was a time where you didn't see the same type of things happen. There was a time when girls didn't fight, right? Now girls are like whooping ass out there in the street and school and everything because this concept of equality has almost gone wild, you know? And just like Joe called in earlier, like for me personally, I still want my door open and you could totally still pay. It doesn't mean I, you know, can't do anything for you, but, and that shouldn't be, I shouldn't even have to say that, but you could still pay for, you know, lunch. I mean, like, we don't need to be that equal. And the way we're made is guys structurally are different. One of the next things on the list is guys have brute strength. They have 50% more brute strength than a woman. So he certainly can open that can. Because I can't. I got nails. I can't open the can. So there are differences. But let's get into the health part of it. I think at the end of the day, guys need more than just the big piece of chicken. So how do women play into this? Well, with all we just talked about, Ted, women are typically the caregivers of a family, right? So if women are not cooking dinner anymore as much, if women are out working, sometimes they have to, and they're working just as hard as their men, then who's watching the health of the family? Because usually it was a woman who scheduled her husband's doctor's appointment.
Even before that, a lot of mothers had home remedies to get rid of sicknesses. They could, if you had a rash, like she would inherit something from her mother and grandmother, and she'd go out in the yard and mix some things up and crush it and put it on your rash, and it was gone, right?
Yeah, but you know, back in the 80s, Robitussin, we switched to all that for Robitussin.
Women had a huge commitment to the health of the family, and if the man was going to be a provider, she had to make sure he lived as long as possible so that he could not only provide, you know, like there's a safety, right? There's a shell of safety that you get from a man in the house that you don't get when he's there, when he's not there.
So you just eloquently back to the entire point that I'm making. So as roles begin to change, and particularly in certain communities, because there are people who can get every meal from Whole Foods. There are people who can order Hello Fresh all day long. And those people, if they have the education about what to put in their bodies, are likely be okay, right?
Right.
But when you don't know what you don't know, and not only do you not know, but nobody's watching the farm or the refrigerator or the health of the family, then that's when you get this huge mess that we have. Here are three factors I wrote down. Your man's health, right, determines the health of the family. Sexual health, that's that T.
I was getting to that. Keep going.
Okay, that's the T. You keep talking. You just want to talk about that T. But remember, there's a reason why men get low T, and that I got to drive back towards nutrition. That's the nutrition piece, right? And financial health. And so that speaks to everything you just said. Now your man is on disability. Right. Well, that's
exactly.
No fun.
Exactly.
Well, that's no fun.
Right.
Now your man, you know, he can't get it up. So I think that we got a big responsibility to each other and that's what I do. I get the information out.
Time right there.
Yeah.
You said over the past 70 years, you know, over the past 40 years, 50 years, a lot of mothers stopped teaching their daughters how to cook.
Absolutely, they did.
So now she's got no responsibility to making sure the family is healthy. Some woman tried to sue McDonald's because she had her little boy, a single mother, eat at McDonald's three meals a day every day. And when he got sick, she attempted to sue McDonald's, and they were like, "Are you get out of here? You didn't feed your, you wouldn't cook for your son." That she's in, she may be an extreme case, except that may be happening more than people want to say. Now, I lived in D.C. for about 15 years, and it was amazing to see these young boys, 8, 9, 10, 11, out at 2, 3 in the morning on bicycles just hanging out, like, with no guidance at all. So I don't know what their mothers were doing, that they didn't know their sons were just hanging out like that, just hanging out in the street, riding bikes, walking out, you know.
Wow. So yes, and yes. I think the ideal that, and not saying that you're saying that, the ideal that everybody wants to be healthy is just throw it out the window. Everybody doesn't want to be learned. Everybody doesn't want to be rich. Everybody doesn't want to be healthy. Some people want to drink all the time. And people just want to do certain things. I think what's happening is, and I know this to be true, that the dissemination of information in allied health, and I'm on the prevention side, but in allied health takes about 10 years to trickle through, right? So if it takes 10 years to trickle through in the allied health system, then in poorer communities, that's probably more like 12 or 15 years. Not only that, how many people get bad information? Like literally the wine fairy came through Chicago and told everybody it's okay to like down like wine all the time. Somebody heard wine was good for you, right? Somebody heard that French women drink wine, right?
A glass or two every night, right?
Yeah, but they don't drink wine from Walgreens. And so you run to Walgreens, you get this $8 bottle of wine, and you and your girls just like drink four bottles of wine, and that's not good for you. So the way the information gets spun sometimes is very deceptive too. But here's a quote that I wrote: "The way to a man's health is through a woman." It really is, because men typically, unless they already have been taught at an early age, and some of them, when they get a little older, they say, well, you know, I'm in the gym working out. I want to make sure that I know how to do X, Y, and Z. So in that respect,
right.
But that's not the majority. That's like a small minority of guys that actually do it that way. And so you're seeing a big change in systems because you're seeing, you know, the evolvement, whether you like it or not, the evolvement of the world and where we're going. It's very interesting because probably even in New Jersey and New York, I know in Chicago, Texas, everywhere you go, there is a dialysis center, a Chipotle restaurant, and a GNC, and they're all being built miles from each other because, one, people need dialysis because they're losing function. Two, we know that they want the quick fix and folks aren't cooking anymore, and Chipotle and Subway are, you know, quote unquote, good alternatives. And three, we also know that people want the quick fix and they want to run in GNC and grab some turmeric, because they heard about turmeric that is good for you. But do they want to do the real work? A lot of people do. A lot of people want to do the real work, but a lot of people want to get that quick fix, which is totally opposite from what I do. You're normally hanging out with me for, like I said, 3 months or 6 months, depending on how much weight you have to lose and depending on whether or not your body's healthy. It takes somebody who does not have a healthy body. If you've got diabetes or hypertension, we gotta kind of get that in control first before we see weight loss. So
that,
you know, there's a real formula to this.
Is fast food or eat? So let me just tell you, I've done this about three different times. I've eaten out three meals a day, 7 days a week. And by the sixth or seventh day, I feel like I want to vomit. And when I say I eat out, some of the restaurants I go, lunch, just for me, I eat alone, I'll pay $40. So I'm going to upscale restaurants. I don't eat fast food. I'm a vegetarian. And eating out 7 days a week and eating good food, I end up feeling sick by the end of the sixth or seventh day. And the first time it happened, I thought it was weird. So months later, I did it again, and I didn't do it as a test. I just, my schedule forced it. And it happened again, and it was like, oh, my God. Like, and then a third time, it was like, all right, this is the pattern. I don't need to do this. I'll never eat 7 days a week out in restaurants every day. So, and that's eating good places. You know, I'm spending a pretty buck. So I don't think most people are spending that kind of money when they go out to eat. So I can imagine what that's doing to their body. So I don't know what was happening for me to feel like I wanted to vomit at the end of 7 days every time. So whether people are saying they work too much or they have all these, or they don't know how to cook or they don't want to cook or they don't know what nutritional things to make, I think that's a problem right there, is people eat out way too much.
Wow. You just said a lot. I would be curious to know a couple of things. One of the things I would want to know is, you know, are you eating out breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
3 days, three meals a day, 7 days a week.
Okay. So vegan or not vegan, pescatarian?
Listen. If you eat honey, you're not a vegan, right? So there are things that I eat that I'm not a vegan.
That's not the point I'm about to make.
I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat any animals at all. None. Zero.
That's not the point I'm about to make.
Okay.
So if you are eating, hear me out. If you're eating three times a day, you're eating too much.
No, okay? Not at all.
We could totally talk about, we don't have time today, but the powers of fasting and intermittent fasting, that is a lot of food in the body.
What happens? If I miss one meal, I lose 3 pounds for one meal.
Good for you. That's your body talking to you.
No, my body's lean. My body's My body's lean. It's like I can literally feel my body eating itself. So I eat three meals a day because I am exceptionally active. I've got to eat, like, I've got it down to a science. And sometimes I need four meals a day, but, you know, sometimes I'm training that hard. Three meals do not support me.
So I'm going to stick with my story and say, and we can talk off camera about the powers of intermittent fasting. If you miss one meal and you're losing 3 pounds in that one meal, one, that's not that unusual. Just like I could go drink a lot of wine and eat spaghetti tonight, and I wake up tomorrow morning and I didn't really gain 5 pounds, but that's 5 pounds of inflammation. So when that happens to your body, there is a reason why your metabolism fed up like that and dropped that weight. I don't know enough about your personal case to really do a deep dive into it, but check out intermittent fasting, not every day, just a couple days out of the week. The other thing I'm going to say, and I know you vegans don't really like this, but I see it every day in my practice. First of all, French fries and beer are vegan. I get more vegans. I'm not talking about you. I don't know your story, but I get more vegans in my practice with distended tummies. First of all, distended means your stomach is sticking out. You're taking way too much carbohydrate and fiber in. Remember I talked about macros earlier?
Right.
It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It doesn't matter if you choose to be a real vegan or a fake vegan or a rawitarian, a juicetarian, a pescatarian, a vegetarian. That doesn't matter.
Right.
What matters is this. Hear me out. This is really important. Whichever lifestyle you choose, what really matters, Ted, is that you get the macro and micronutrients that I talked about earlier in. And so if you're getting too much of one or the other, your stomach, your digestive system is going to be irritated. You're going to feel puffy. You're going to feel nauseated. So, and I'll fast forward real quick because there's a real, like, popular restaurant on the south side of Chicago. And so as soon as I got back to Chicago, I was like, and I do eat it.
Right, you just went on mute. You just went to mute.
So I do eat meat, but there was a popular restaurant on the south side of Chicago. So I ran up there with a vegetarian friend of mine. And, I mean, it was a vegetarian restaurant, vegan. It was actually a vegan restaurant, but there was very little nutrition involved in it.
That's right.
And so the ideal that you can be any of those labels you want to call yourself, if you're lacking that nutrition or you're getting too much carbohydrate, not enough protein, whatever the case may be, you got to run the numbers, then that will cause problems. And let me tell you what we call ourselves at my studio. We call ourselves nutritarians. So we eat for nutrition. So I make sure my clients get the macros and micros that they need.
Absolutely. So what's the difference between a macro and a micro nutrient?
So macros, and that's a whole piece in the book too. Macros are short for macronutrients, which are the big nutrients. And once again, most people cannot answer this question. If you ask them what every food is made of, which are the macronutrients, those are proteins, carbs, and fat.
Okay.
So the average diet has, and if you're vegan, you're getting a ton of carbs. And so you've got to, you know, make sure you get in those plant-based foods, maybe some spirulina, some things that give you complete quinoa, they give you complete proteins, right? Or else you're just kind of carbing. And again, I don't know your entire profile. Like you might be a runner or whatever. Runners can typically get away with more carbohydrate than somebody who's sedentary.
Correct.
But anyway, macros are the big nutrients. They're the proteins, the carbs, and the fat.
So is that what they have taught us were like food groups when we were in school?
No, you're not taught. The shit, excuse my French, and let me be good and just try not to fuss and cuss. The stuff that we really need to know in life is not taught in. It ain't taught in public school. You might get a little bit of it if your parents pay some money for you to go to school. But when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to law of attraction, when it comes to financial issues, no, we're not being taught that. People are not being taught macros. They're just being taught labels. They're being taught labels, not the real sustainable stuff. And so micros, to finish answering your question, micros are the mini nutrients, right? Those are the nutrients that are typically found in, of course, some plant, but fruits like berries and things like that. You have all these smaller nutrients in there that provide the body with antioxidants, polyphenols, all kind of different things that kill and keep disease at bay. So you got your micros and your macros. Yeah, check it out in the book. There's like that's a whole big deal, micros and macronutrients.
So people need to understand those, right? So there's a macro, it's carbohydrates, proteins, and fat. Fat, right, fats.
Good fat.
Like peanuts is a good fat, right, for example.
I mean, it's better than potato chips, but it's not the best. For men in particular, and I don't really want to separate men and women too much because what's good for a woman is good for a man, but pistachios, full of protein, okay. Full of fiber, okay. Full of, you know, antioxidants, avocados, these folks are Can you see that when that comes up on the phone? When that jumps on the phone like that, can you? Did you see like something jump on my screen?
No.
No. Okay, that's good. Only I can see. So when we say fat, we're talking about the fat from, you know, poly and monounsaturated fats from olive oils and safflower oils.
Avocado is a fat, right? Is avocado has fats in it?
Avocado is a 100% fat, and typically, if you're not allergic to it, and you kind of would know right away, man, avocado is very beneficial to the body. It provides.
Now you just locked up. You froze again. But keep going. You're okay now.
Okay, fat and fiber,
right.
Really, really good for you. In fact, a half a small avocado or a half an avocado a day won't hurt a soul. MCT oils. One of the things
that not everyone's familiar with all the acronyms. So what's that?
So MCT oil is medium chain triglycerides, which is a fat. It's just another fat. It's derived from a coconut, and it is an upper class coconut, if you will. So it's an extraction, if you will, from the best part of the coconut. It's great for neural function. It's a great fat. It's good for energy, right? And it's also good for people who are or want to be in some type of ketosis state, which is where you're using your body. You kind of getting rid of a whole bunch of carbohydrate. You hear a lot about the keto diet.
Right.
That's a whole nother show right there. You should be kind of keto-ish. I'm not talking about you per se, but keto-ish. And you can be a vegetarian or a vegan and still be keto-ish and not have to eat all that meat. I want to finish answering the question, but we kind of got off on this. And so I do want people, though, caveat emptor, to be careful going on keto without supervision. Like, go get a health coach, because I mean, keto does work, but there's a point where you need to be off of it. There's also a point where if you keto adapt your body too much, if you ever go back to eating the carbohydrates, the potatoes, the breads, the fruits and stuff like that, and you do need them over time, you're going to need those back, then you're probably going to blow up like a little balloon. So I would definitely get some help from a dietitian, a health coach, or a nutritionist when it comes to going on radical type diets.
So I have a question.
Sure.
Are certain foods better for certain body types than others?
So
like from a nutritional value, right? And if we look at food as being medicine, right? So you know, what are there certain foods that may be more beneficial for me and maybe not as beneficial for my brother, let's say? You know, we're from the same family.
At the end of the day, there's a thing called bioindividuality, right? I was just talking to a girl the other day. She's like 33 years old. She never knew what was wrong. And she just found out. She's been to doctor appointment after doctor appointment after doctor appointment, literally losing large amounts of weight, not being able to sleep, shaking.
Wow.
Just right? Come to find out, her entire life she has been allergic to egg whites, and no doctor, no medical professional took the time to have her do a simple allergy test, big allergy test where you test all these different things, if you will, everything from tree bark
right
to egg.
Do you do that? Do you test people?
I don't do that, but if I've got a client who comes in and in the first 30 days or so, 3 days after being with me, you should be sparkling, right? You should be feeling better. You should be eliminating. Some people it takes a little longer, depends on what's going on with them. But after some workout, and this is not about get on the floor and give me 50. Some people got bad knees. You know, you got all kind of stuff going on out here. Some people don't like spinach. So what do we do? So this is a process. And true story, I had a lady. She was with me for like 3-6 months or something. She was doing the workouts, but she was completely wiped out. And I would put her on the lower level workout. She was wiped out. I said, look, go to your doctor, ask your doctor, check your vitamin D. She said, coach, my doctor said I don't need a vitamin D test. They don't need, okay, because everybody respects their doctor. I get it. You've been trained to respect everything your doctor says. And so I said, well, I'm going to have to insist that you ask your doctor to give you a vitamin D test. Finally, her doctor gives her a vitamin D test. She's like something like a 7.
Oh, wow.
She is half damn dead.
Wow.
So they immediately put her on 50,000 international units. And from this day forward, she started dropping more weight a lot quicker. She completely felt better. And quite frankly, I can't measure it, but she escaped death because you can't function with, I think your vitamin D levels is just in the normal range, need to be like in the low 20s. And when you start talking about anything under 12, don't totally quote me on these numbers, but anything under 12,
30,
you're in trouble.
I think 30 is like, at, you're good if it's at 30.
Like a sweet spot, spot.
You're okay at 30. And under that, they start questioning what if you're above, I don't know what happens if you're above that, but yeah, 30 is good. I asked the doctor.
Well, you can't get too much vitamin D, so you're safer. I mean, it's bankable, so you can't get too much of it. But, you know, low 20s, you're okay. But when we start talking about 12, when we start talking about being at a 7, you're half dead.
Right.
Somebody jumped on there.
I brought two people on. Country Boy, I know you have a question, and Red Pill goes for Country Boy. You go first.
Is that Country or Courtney? Country Boy?
Country Boy.
Hey, Country Boy.
How you doing? It's Country.
Hey, Country.
Now, back to that vitamin D, I'm glad you brought that up. Because I also, Coach King, was under the impression that a lot of, you know, us black folk and you know, brown, Hispanic, a lot of us, it wasn't told that we are vitamin D deficient.
Right.
And it wasn't just too long ago that I found that out and I personally put on a low dose.
Okay.
Of the vitamin D. I'm taking like something like, I think, 400 micrograms of that, vitamin D3.
Okay.
And Coach, when I tell you I haven't had too much problems with this, I'm going to be careful how I say this, because I don't want y'all to get the money back.
Let's just say,
with this specific pandemic situation we got going on. So I haven't had too much problems, Coach.
Well,
so, like back to what you were saying about that lady that client you were talking about.
Yeah.
She was nearly dead. Said a part of that just vitamin D deficient.
I don't make this up, baby. But Country Boy.
I know you don't.
So I appreciate that you don't want to say anything about the pandemic, and I know we only have 6 minutes left. I'm going to say this about the pandemic because I think it's very, very important that people know this if they don't know. 92% of, I think I've got that number right in my head, of the people who actually died were vitamin D deficient.
I heard that. Yep.
Okay, they were vitamin D deficient. We continue, and every time I talk, I'm on the subject, off the subject. We continue, because this bugs me, which is why I'm mentioning it. We continue, I don't want to say anybody's name, but we continue to get our news from entertainment sources. I don't want to say no names. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm going to say the name. I love you, Swarovski. I love you, but y'all got to stop getting your... You gotta stop getting your news from Charlemagne the God. Yeah, I said it. I like y'all, Charlemagne, but you guys need to stay in your lane. And so what happens is certain people, and a lot of them are my people, and I love my people. I love all people. I'm gonna say that too. Is you're getting this information that scares you to death, but you're not getting the information that tells you what the solution is. And the solution, we don't have enough time, let me just say this, is immunity and vitamin D is a huge factor in being able to fight the coronavirus because it has everything to do with your immune system. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Country boy, one second. You got to make it quick, country boy.
Here's Miss Kenya. Now y'all see this little lady right here. I don't know if you can see her. Can you see her, Miss Kenya?
I can see her.
They say this lady here done said a lot of black folks, but what you brought up all that stuff about hypertension and blood pressure. Okay, how that is that the ancestors in my family been using this for curing me and seasoning food all these years. But all of a sudden now the food messed up now and you got all these different illnesses out here now. So something not right, like you're saying, with the FDA and all these people. Something not right, Miss King.
Well, country boy, I do wanna say this and you bring up another really good point. I wanna say this, you know, it's just getting hot in the kitchen now, but you do need salt. Okay, part Absolutely. Of your structure right. of your body is water and salt. And so what happens once again, guys, is people find that they have hypertension and that they should cut down on their salt. So what they do is they go crazy and they don't want any salt anymore. And then when you don't have any salt anymore, you get what we call an iodine deficiency, which is extremely dangerous because you need the iodine. So it's not about cutting out salt altogether. If you're a diabetic or you have hypertension, I would, you know, put you around 15 milligrams of salt a day, which is a lot. You shouldn't really be taking in that much, but that's a safe and a sweet spot. So what I don't want people to do is I don't want people to just stop eating salt. Start getting the right information. That way you don't end up having an adverse effect to your health because you went too far left or too far right. Does that make sense, country boy? All right. So good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
I can tell you a quick story about that. About 23, I cut salt out completely. And I was running. I was measured. My body fat content was 3.8. I was ripped.
Huh? 3.8.
Yeah, I've done tank tests. 4.1 for that. My body fat stayed around. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm healthy, and I was running 3 miles a day every day. And all of a sudden, when I stuck my hand out, it was doing like this. When I was sitting and put my just. Having my toe on the floor, my leg was shaking. So a buddy of mine was a physiologist. Hey, Dr. Bond, why? I'm in the best shape of my life. What's going on? He said, you eat salt. I was like, man, I don't eat any salt. Nothing. So he said, go home, pour a bunch of salt in your hand, eat it. And I did that. And I'm telling you, in less than 10 seconds, I felt
anything. So you almost died because you need salt. And I don't care. I love you so much. And I know you're healthy, and I want you to be healthy, but your body fat was not 3.8. That's not right because there's no such thing.
Yes. I've done the pinch. And
not
I've done the
3.8.
Tank test. The most accurate body fat.
Oh, the tank test.
I've done a tank test. It was 4.0, 4.1. I did several.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Okay, because I'm like, if you only got 3% body fat, then you're screwed. So, okay, you're saying in the tank test. I got you.
I've done
okay, that makes sense.
It's the same doctor, same physiologist. That's why I went to him, because He was always, anyway, he
meant it. What
even still today, and the only person I know that has that sodium iodine deficiency is my brother. And we can be in great shape and still have salt in our diet, but when it gets hot outside and we're training really hard, I'll get a sodium deficiency. I know exactly when it's coming, and I just eat a handful of salt, and it's gone.
You sweat like an animal, don't you? Yeah. Some people who sweat. My youngest son was an athlete. Well, both my sons are athletes, but the younger one, he just, like, we were going to get him Botox for his underarms because it was just completely out of control. If you're depleting your iodine stores, you sweat like an animal. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Let me tell you, from you talk about food, right? I found a solution. I found a solution with eating raw seaweed. So I'd get this dried seaweed and put it in water and season it and eat it. And it gave me the iodine, and I stopped because one day my body locked. Imagine your car has no oil and the engine just locks. I locked. And I lucky I had my woman was with me. I was in the bedroom and I said, I was like Superman with kryptonite. I said, I can't move. You have to go get me salt and water.
I know.
And so I couldn't go to, if she wasn't there, I would still be there right now. And that was years ago.
No, you'd be there right now. You'd be in the Santa Rico fucking Mortis. Hey, look. Check this out. You can stop because you can never not say you don't know the power of food now. Like, you can stop making that statement. You know that food is medicine because you take this salt, right? You take this salt, and all of a sudden,
less than 10 seconds, bang. It's like Popeye eating the spinach. You was just like, bang, I'm right back to normal from salt.
I have so many stories like that. I'm glad you're okay. Please eat. Please have a little bit of salt every now and then.
Now you see why I have to eat. You see why I have to eat three meals a day. So,
if you're training hard, I get it.
Right.
But you can still even benefit from a day or two of intermittent fasting.
I'll lose 3 pounds. I don't like losing. I lose power, and there's some power I don't want to lose. So.
You're a manly man because the ladies are just the opposite. They don't want to see a 3 pound gain. You don't want to see a 3 pound loss. It 3 pounds up to 5 pounds really doesn't really mean a whole lot.
Does on the bench. It may. It shows up in the weight room. I see where I don't want to lose it. So I've fasted for 2 weeks straight. I used to fast, anyway. So here's what I'd like you to do.
Yes, sir.
So, you know what's important to men. So a man's sexual life, his sexual health, and also the whole high blood pressure, hypertension, all of that. What are the things that a man needs to be? Because high blood pressure, hypertension will affect his sex life, right? So guys get up beyond a certain age and they're not performing the way they used to perform, right? So What are the foods, you know, and you want to say food is medicine, but food is power. I'll say food is power. What are the foods a man can eat at any age that will help him mitigate any kind of future high blood pressure, all that stuff, and keep his sex life vibrant?
I'm going to try to give you the shortest answer possible. But the most effective answer. First of all, I got to tell you that if it's good for a man, it's good for a woman and vice versa. But we're talking about men right now. I'm going to give off some tips. First of all, it'd be great if you had this great childhood where you were introduced to all the colors of the rainbow as far as playing animal. But I understand that did not happen for everybody. I'm actually doing a piece, Ted. We can come back and revisit it in 30, 45 days.
Okay.
It's called Nutrition for the Ages. So you do something different at 30 than you do at 40, than you do at 50.
Really?
You do it. So okay. I want to just say that. But what can a man do? I wrote down some tips because I didn't want to forget anything. The first thing you can do is you can get some sleep, because that processes and renews. And I don't care who you are. I know all y'all out there making all the money, but you need to get sleep. 7 to 9 hours, wherever your sweet spot is. 7 to 9. I'm an 8-hour girl. Everybody's different. 7 to 9. So that's the first thing. You'll bring me back on. We don't have time tonight. I'll talk about a product that I got coming out called Avoid Mayhem. We don't have time for it. So the next thing you can do, you can drink water. You can drink water, water, water.
How much?
You can drink water. Well, half your body weight. You can also drink water with a little.
What?
Half your body weight.
So if a man weighs 200 pounds, he should drink 100 pounds of water a day.
He should maybe try to get there.
100 pounds of water?
Not pounds, baby, ounces.
You said half your body weight. I don't understand that.
So if you weigh 200 pounds, then half your body weight is 100 ounces.
So you should drink, an ounce is half your body weight, an ounce, got it, 100 ounces of
water. I'm sorry. So half your body weight in ounces, not pounds. But let me say this. If you, for instance, since you are a vegan,
I'm a vegetarian.
Since you are a vegetarian, you are getting in a lot of vegetable. And because you're getting in a lot of vegetable, you get in a lot of water content. So you don't really have to do half your body weight. You can just do an upwards of, 64 ounces plus the extra cup. So say 72 ounces, because you're getting a lot of water content in already. So everybody's a little bit different. So water, apple cider vinegar water, infused water, green tea. You don't like green tea? A man may not want to sit around the house and sip on green tea. It may be a little bit too feminine for a man. So I want you to run out, guys, country boy. And I want you to run out and I want you to get yourself some green tea extract. And you're getting all kind of antioxidants and polyphenols and fighting all kind of free radicals in the body. Another thing, vitamin K.
What foods have vitamin K?
So, good question. Vitamin K are the green leafies, the Swiss chard, the arugulas, the peppers, the spinach, the green leaf, the cabbage, green leafies, all of them.
Kale, all that stuff.
All of it. All of it. It's all of the rainbow, particularly the green leafies. Kombucha. You have to work your tummy. If your tummy is out of control, everything is off. So you've got to work on digestive health. Kombucha is a fermented food. Google fermented foods. These are foods nobody's eating. Nobody's eating sauerkraut.
That's Korean, right? Kombucha, isn't that more of a Korean? No?
Kombucha, kombucha, I wouldn't say is Korean. Kombucha, I don't know the origin of kombucha, but it is a fermented food. Kombucha is just a tea that's been fermented, so I don't know really the per se origin. But when you start talking about natto and Greek yogurts and all of those different things, they have, different origins.
Okay.
Natto is more, I think it's Japanese. It might be Korean. I forget. So, but the point is, fermented foods are good for everybody's gut. And if your gut is out of control, I can promise you that the body starts to break down next.
Someone said kombucha is Russian.
You just Google Russian?
That they just put it up there. I didn't Google it, but someone said that.
Let me look. I can look real quick. The other thing is Russian. That doesn't sound right to me, but that I'm not always right, but I don't know that kombucha is Russian. I think I would have remembered that. Exercise. Here's the deal, guys. Why is anybody or any trainer, and we love our trainers so much. Hang on, let me punch it in.
Someone said kombucha should be taken cautiously.
Well, you shouldn't be drinking, everything should be taken cautiously. You shouldn't be drinking like big gallons of it. If I get a kombucha, I would maybe, sometimes I drink the whole 16 ounces, but really you could drink 8 ounces and then save the other 8 ounces the next day. This is not a replacement for water. Remember I said water, 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 okay? But these are, everything should be taken cautiously, but kombucha is good for your gut health. It falls in the fermented foods family, and we do need to eat a hell of a lot more fermented foods. Kombucha is originated in Northeast China, historically referred to as Manchuria, and it was founded around 220 BC. So Japanese people have also befriended kombucha. Yeah. Okay, right, right. So y'all be careful where y'all get information from. So anyway, moving forward. Alcohol consumption is out of control.
Especially during the pandemic. The pandemic is going up. It's shot up.
Oh, my. I'm I drank one too many lemon drops during the pandemic. I was a lemon drop drinking food. And I know what to do. So I gotta lose 13 pounds because... And I'm a healthy person. But here's the difference between me and the average Joe.
How's someone going to carry you over the puddle?
Huh?
I said, how's someone going to carry you over the puddle if you gain weight?
How are they going to carry me over the puddle?
You got to get carried over the puddle now. Come on now.
They got to be strong. So, go ahead.
That was
everybody needs to, like, really think about their liver. And God, in his infinite wisdom, we should be so grateful that God made the liver the most forgiving organ. It continues to regenerate. By the time you screw up your liver, you have truly drank too much. By the time you screw up that liver, man, you've been living La Vida Loca. Exercise.
Wow.
This is what I was going to say about exercise
Are you familiar with sea moss?
I am familiar with sea moss.
Is that good for men?
I don't know. And let me tell you why I don't know. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to shoot straight with y'all. Sea moss is marketed to have 92 of the 102 minerals and vitamins.
Wow,
that you need.
That's pretty
okay.
Good. Wow.
I actually went out and bought some so that I could read the nutrition label on
it.
Does not have a nutrition label on it. So as a health coach, I have to say to you, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, if you're getting 92 of the 102, I need to know which 10 I'm missing. And if the 10 that I'm missing, you really need, you could potentially mess yourself up real bad. I think what people need to understand is that natural is powerful. Natural is more powerful than synthetic. And so if you're not getting the right, go ahead, country boy. So if you're not getting the right stuff that you need and you get 92% of something, and the 10% that you really need or you need more of because you just elevated 92 of them and the 10 are lagging behind, if they 10 that you really need, you just stroked out.
What about pumpkin seeds for men?
The pumpkin seeds for men and women are great.
Okay. Now, and I want to go back to what you were saying about vitamin D. I heard a doctor say that most melanated men who have prostate problems, they actually were very deficient in vitamin D, and if that would have been handled first, then their prostate problem would have never happened. That I just heard a doctor in an interview say that. So,
well, I mean, you heard him say right. Well, vitamin D is responsible for vitamin D are the traffic lights. The traffic signals that direct every other hormone in your body and all your functions, all your bodily functions. If you are deficient in not only vitamin D, they're more than vitamin D, but that's a big one.
Right,
and
right.
Obviously it's big in African-American culture because we're not, particularly in the wintertime, we're not getting the sun. Then it is a big deal. Let me finish up this list because I actually really do have to.
Let me just say vitamin, pumpkin seeds are good for a man's prostate.
Pumpkin seeds are good for a man's prostate. And as much as we want to hone in on one particular thing, general nutrition that keeps you from having chronic illness keeps you from having problems with the prostate. So as much as I know that you want to focus on the prostate, don't get me wrong, pumpkin seeds are great for it. Vitamin K is great for it because you're talking about bone structure. Vitamin D is good for it.
It really
is more of a holistic thing.
Right, right.
Like you got to start at the beginning. Because you can eat all the pumpkin seeds in the world, but after it starts its manifestation into the prostate gland, you're in trouble. So we got to start at the beginning with all the plants and all the, minimize the sugars from fruit, minimize the meat. You can still eat it if you want to. Get some exercise, get some sleep, drink some water. Have good relationships with people that you love. Keep the arguing to a minimal. Keep the alcohol and the weed. You weed heads out there, I love you so much. Keep the weed to a minimum. Know where you're getting your weed from. Know where your weed is sourced. All weed ain't good weed. I'm just saying, y'all. Can I finish this list, Ted? You trying to keep me. I got to get out of here. I love you so much.
I'm trying to carry you over the funnel, but keep going.
Okay. Exercise. My guys, real quick. You found out you have diabetes and hypertension, and you're in the gym trying to lift the heaviest weights. Not a great idea to do. I know you don't want to hear that. I'm not going to get into why. Just think about the common sense of that. We need to get the hypertension. We need to get the diabetes under control first, and then we can get you lifting the heavy weights. All right. Yeah, I'm done with that one. Eat a diet high in raw and cooked vegetables. Your vegetables should be raw and cooked because there are certain enzymes and digestive enzymes that come out when a food is cooked that doesn't come out when a food is raw.
Oh, and really?
You just want to get a little bit of both. And if you just totally go raw for a little while, you're just going to be farting and having flatulence all over the place. And who wants that? A robust sex. This is what Ted's been wanting to talk about. You need to have a robust sex life with someone you truly care about. So popping.
So no pumping and dumping. I said pump and dump and she left. What happened? What did I say? What did I say, Kendrick?
I don't know.
I just asked the question. She must have hit the wrong button. She must have hit the wrong button. That's all. She hit a button. There she is. She's back.
I think my phone is actually on a really low percentage too. But a robust sex life, guys, with somebody that you really, really like. And look, this is for girls too. You just can't be going from pillar to post in the band. Just get with somebody and learn how to get it on the right way. It feels so good. And you release a hormone. I think it's vasopressin for men. I don't remember, so don't quote me on that.
Vasopressin. It's oxytocin that you're talking
about. It's oxytocin for women. It's a little bit, has a different name for men. But for women, and Ted, I'm doing some things. I can't really reveal them right now, but we'll talk about that too next time we get together on social. But oxytocin is a chemical. And once that chemical is released, it's just good for you. And I think that's it. for now.
And men do secrete oxytocin, whether it's vasopressin, when it binds.
Yeah,
it has,
that's it.
It has women who have too much vasopressin, it messes them up. So it's a male, more of a male hormone. But there are women who have too much of it.
A little, yeah.
And even when they're in the womb, they mess it. When in the womb, it's not, yeah. Women don't contain it too well. It makes them, anyway, crazy.
Yeah. No, you're 100% on it, bro. This is so fun. I hope that it plays and plays and plays everywhere where people can pick up some good information and just go from there. But just remember, hey, guys, your health is holistic. Not just one thing. It's holistic.
So you're going to come back and talk to us. So tell people so you can come back and talk to us because you're working on some things.
I'm working on
things. You'll be more advanced and ready to present it. We'd love to hear about it. In the meantime, people can get your book. How can they get your book?
I think you can go to, somebody told me it was sold out. I don't know how to get them.
Sold out.
Go to Amazon, huh?
You're doing any autograph copies?
I do. You got an autograph copy.
I was going to say, I have the autograph copy.
You do?
Yeah.
And
I'm going to sell this autograph for a lot of money.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. We're talking over each other right now.
I'm going to sell this autograph for a lot of money one day.
Yeah, you can probably get a lot of money right now.
All right.
Sorry, yeah, so I do speaking engagements. I'm going to do two speaking engagements this year, but if you guys want, my battery's getting really low, so if we get cut off, it's the real deal this time.
Okay.
But if you guys have an opportunity for me to come to New York or New Jersey, I'd be happy to do so. We can do a live food show. So that's a little bit of the difference between me and everybody else. I actually do live food shows. I actually don't just tell you to
come. What does that mean, though, a live food show? I don't know what that means.
A live food show is I don't just tell you to be healthy. We show you how. We show you what it tastes like to put a blueberry and an avocado together. People are having, they're struggling in the kitchen.
Okay.
They're struggling in the kitchen. They don't know what the hell to eat. That's a whole different show. So Amazon, the book, or you can go to my website, My Body Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E. And you can get the book off my website. And all the contact information is on the website.
All right, perfect. Good. It's been a pleasure having you here and having some fun with you and talking about serious stuff, some of it life-threatening, but important stuff. I mean, what's more important than your health? And we didn't really even get to go down the path of how that affects finances. I think you can come back and we can dive into that a little bit more because you, even in your book, you get it.
So, and I'm not a financial person at all. I'm still very much working on my own finances. However, I know that financial health is a huge part of health. So if you go to my book, I actually don't say a lot about finances. I defer that out to a gentleman by the name of Dave Ramsey, who is a guru when it comes to financial matters.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's a reason I do that because I want to be in my lane. And my lane is the nutrition and how to cook it live and how to talk to you about how to stay healthy and look fresh. That's my job.
And not be sodium or iodine deficient.
Country boy, you're awesome for bringing up those two subjects the way you did. That was very awesome and timely because those were two very important subjects.
Absolutely. So
yes.
It's been a pleasure having you. Thank you for joining. Sorry, country boy. Sorry, go ahead. So that.
I was going to say, you're most certainly welcome, Miss Kenya, and it was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Pleasure having you here. Thanks a lot for joining me and going over what you said you could do. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. Stay healthy, my friends. Love you guys.
Talk
bye.
You take care. Bye-bye. Any other? She's frozen, locked up there. And I see we have a few people in the house who actually have some great knowledge on nutrition here. Hey, Sudhat, I don't know what happened with your connection. It kept saying your device was not connected. I thought it would have been a great idea for two of you, having two people who have that kind of expertise and you were educated in the same place. It would have been very interesting to have the two of you talk. Can we talk on StreamYard? Sure. You want to come in? So who is that? Sure, you can come in on StreamYard. Who is that? Give me one second. One second. Sorry about that, guys. Red Pill.
Yo, Mr. Pinto, how's it going?
Okay, pretty well. And yourself, how you feeling, man?
Doing great. I just got off work, you know, did some homework and stuff, you know, up for college, so it's cool. Yeah, but I just saw your stream and stuff, and, you know, I feel like, you know, like your health is, you know, it's important, you know, like, especially through college and stuff, you know, because, you know.
Right, keep going.
I have, like, you know, friends and stuff. They, like, attend the Ivy Leagues, and they're sleeping like 4 hours a day and stuff, and their diet is kind of like, it's shitty. They were saying and stuff that, you know, they were actually like failing some classes though. So I would have to say, you know, sleep is like, it's important too. It's so important and stuff.
That's what she said. I think that was the first thing that she said was get enough sleep, and then she said drink water.
I say I'm at least like 7 to 8 hours is good enough and stuff. But I mean, I know for a fact, you know, a lot of like billionaires and stuff. They tend to sleep like around 7 to 8 hours and stuff around there, like for like productivity and stuff, and like going, you know, and like and more like, you know, I guess like a better thought process and stuff, you know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Well, yeah. So if you're very successful and you're overseeing businesses and you're responsible for people and you're producing results through others, one of the things that you definitely need is a clear mind, because you have to make some really important decisions, and sometimes they're very tough. And so if your mind is not clear, I've done a lot of work with CEOs, and I've even been involved very much with CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, and all of those guys go to the gym. They all work out because they understand the relationship between physical health and diet and being able to think clearly so that you can do your job and also have the energy to do your job and not be exhausted. Like you were saying, you know, guys are not getting enough sleep, and then they start failing out, and they're not retaining information that they need to retain, and they're just not performing at the way they want. So, yeah. I'll say this. CEOs understand the importance of being physically fit, having some sort of training, so that they have longevity. Go ahead.
I remember a time like, you know, just where I slept beyond just 4 hours a day. I'm in like high school and stuff, and like I noticed that you know, my grades weren't like good at that time, you know, like my productivity was just like just going down and stuff, and then like, you know, as I got young, just older and stuff, I'm in college now, I'm in my first year and stuff, and I noticed that, you know, sleep, I'm helps, you know, just retain, you know, a lot of like young, just information and stuff, you know. Since I'm a bio major and stuff, I have to I remember a lot of anatomy formulas and etc. And yeah, I mean, like after high school and stuff, I changed my sleeping schedule, and I try my best to get like 7 to 8 hours of sleep. I tend to like, you know, just sleep on just really early, around like, you know, just 8 p.m. and I wake up around like 3:35 to 4 a.m. around there. So yeah.
You wake up about 4 in the morning every day?
Around there, yeah. Around that time.
Do you exercise?
I do. I'm in the morning. I wake up at 4 a.m. and I drink my coffee and stuff, and I go work out. I'm at the gym and stuff. I do a push pull, like, you know, and just work out and stuff. And I noticed that, like, you know, like just when I get my, like, you know, just exercise and stuff, I noticed I started, like, you know, just acing my exams and my quizzes, though. So that's a good thing right there.
Interesting. What about it? So being in college, how do you maintain a healthy diet?
So on the weekends and stuff, I tend to, like, you know, cook my meals. I'm like ahead and stuff, you know, like it's like a basic meal, you know, chicken and rice. It could be salmon and fish, and, you know, et cetera and stuff, and I tend to, like, you know, drink a lot of, you know, just water and stuff, and
so you're very organized. You're very organized. You cook your meals in advance, like several days in advance. Is that what you said?
Pretty much, yeah. And sometimes if I don't have enough, you know, just energy and stuff, I tend to take, you know, like pre-workout sometimes. I tend to take it sometimes, though, like, you know, at before the gym and stuff, but I mean, it's a tough schedule and stuff, because I'm taking like 6 classes right now, so it's tough.
So why do you think you need pre-workout? Are you training that hard?
I do, actually, yeah.
Okay. I don't take it. I know people who do. I know a lot of people who take it, but I've just never taken it. So.
Yeah. I mean, are you like a coffee guy, or are you like a...
I have virgin lips. My lips have never touched coffee in my life, ever.
Oh, man. That's crazy. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
I've been out with women, and I tell them, you know, I say, hey, look, I'm a virgin. They're like, what? How? I don't understand this. Why? What? You know, and then I say, well, my lips are virgin. They've never touched coffee.
drink or stuff, or no? You don't really drink that much, or?
I drink water. That's all I drink. It's rare for me to drink anything else.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, that's crazy. Holy crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but...
Someone said a lot of people say they get sleep. No one really says why. Some people say it recharges the brain. I've also read articles where they say they don't fully understand why the body needs sleep. So it's somewhat of a dilemma. He also said most highly successful people don't sleep really.
I mean, like, it depends on the person, though, because, like, I know the Amazon CEO, the guy sleeps only just 8 hours a day, and Elon Musk, I mean, the guy sleeps around 6 hours, and yeah, I mean, it all, like, depends on the person, though.
And some people will just wake up after 5 or 6 hours and can't go back to sleep, and some people may sleep that much and take a nap in the middle of the day for 15, 30 minutes, and they're fine. After five hours of sleep and then, you know, 15, 30 minutes in the middle of the day, it works. You know, it works. So I think what they're getting at is 7 hours. From what I've heard, men need seven and a half, and women need a little bit more sleep than men, like 8 hours.
Yeah.
So. Let me see. Yeah, you hear a lot of people that don't get much sleep. So did you hear everything that Kenya? Did you get to hear everything she said?
Oh, I just came in.
Yeah, she's a nutritionist. Oh, you missed her. She was pretty good.
I'll rewatch it though. I'll rewatch it for sure. I'm free tomorrow though.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, exercise, sleep, and time management helps. In the process and stuff. It helps in the process of, like, you know, like just having, like, you know, just logical thoughts and stuff and etc. But yeah, I mean, I know for a fact, you know, like, especially in, like, the doctor route and stuff, like, the pre-med route and stuff, I know for a fact, they sleep at all, though. I mean, they sleep, like, 2-3 hours, and they, you know, just go to work, and they, yeah.
Well, a lot of doctors get, a lot of doctors have poor health, especially if they deliver babies. I know a woman who deliver babies, and you know, if she gets a call in the middle of the night, she has to show up to deliver a baby. So
yeah, I mean, like, it depends on, like, the field you want to go into and stuff. I mean, if you're like cardiac surgeon or, like, you know, a neurosurgeon, then I think sleep is gonna be tough, especially because, you know, you have, you know, patients, you know, and just coming in and stuff, you know, like for heart surgery and etc., you know. So
are you familiar with the robotic surgery where you could be in California and do surgery on someone in New York through robotics?
I did not hear about that.
Yeah, that's well, I'm sure you'll hear about it. So, but yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure,
There are people who get trained. There are doctors who do specific training for that and get certified to do that.
Yeah, I'm still in my undergrad stuff, so I'm pretty grateful and stuff that, you know, I'm sleeping well. But I know for a fact, you know, just MD school and, you know, just residency is gonna be, it's gonna be tough to get sleep for sure. You know, it can be tough to get sleep because I was watching, like, a video on doctor. I think it's Ben Carson.
Right.
And he was saying that, I mean, he slept like 6 to 7, but yeah, 6 to 7, you know, just hours and stuff, and it kind of like helped him and stuff, you know.
Yeah, Sleep is important. Sounds like you're doing the right things on your diet and drinking water, exercise. So a lot of doctors actually don't have the greatest health. So if you can be a product of health, I think it would be good for your patients to see that you're healthy also. So if you can stay with that mindset, it would be really good on your part.
Yeah. I'm going to try my best to hit the gym 4 to 5 times a week. That's all I do pretty much. I do like a split workout and like, you know, I do like a bit of, you know, just hit cardio on the treadmill stuff and, you know, yeah. that's pretty much it. What's your workout split by chance? Is it like push pull or?
So I today, for example, I did chest and arms. So I guess curl. So I'm doing that's all push. That's all push. So chest, that's bench. Curls, close grip for triceps, and then tomorrow I'll just run and do abs. So I do abs also. I do abs every day. So I work out 5 or 6 days a week, and I run 3 days a week, and I'm doing chest and arms, and then I'll do back and shoulders also on a different day.
You run on the treadmill or like the Stairmaster or?
No, I only do the treadmill. I usually just run a mile because if I run more than a mile, I'm going to lose weight. I'll lose too much weight. So I pulled a left hamstring, but I was running a mile in under 6 minutes. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I like putting in a good intense mile, run it. Almost like a mile and almost like 1.2 mile, almost a mile and a quarter.
You can do this. I mean, yeah. I mean, have you like tried the Stairmaster though at all or no?
No.
You ever tried the Stairmaster?
No. My joke is men don't use that machine. That's for girls. So I mean. It's a joke, but I mean, I've never used it. I refuse to use it.
It's for females.
Yeah, it's for girls, man. I don't do that. So
I used it for like a couple of times, and then like I think the last time I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna do this anymore because I see like a lot of females use it.
Yeah, I'm just joking, man. I'm just joking. My brother is 6'2". When he was about 23, he was benching 465 pounds. My brother's a big guy. He's done the Stairmaster and the elliptical. And he's encouraged me to do it, and I always joke with him and say, real men don't do that. So, So I'd rather just run. You know, I ran track. I played football in high school. My body develops better when I run. So, you know, I get more blood in my oxygen so I can get a few more reps on bench. And, it just helps me get stronger and it cuts my waist. It helps me build cut. So I like having some mass and plenty of cut is the kind of body I create.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like, you know, guys at my gym, like, you know, like these, you know, just overweight dudes be using elliptical and stuff, and I'm just like, what? I kind of laugh at it, because I don't use it and stuff, and I just, you know, I kind of see it like as like a female thing, you know. It's like
I just like the way running shapes my body. And there's another thing is the way your clothes fit, right? So whether you're a doctor or you're a businessman or you're a consultant, there's a presence that you can have when you enter a room with clients that can command a certain amount of attention that's harder to get if you're overweight. So there's something about being fit, right? So you watch a lot of these CEOs of large companies that it's rare to see one who's overweight, male or female. There's a certain presence and posture that you'll see with them. And I think as a nation, or maybe as a world, right, people may equate with some level of, like, you care for yourself and there's a confidence, right? So you've made some good decisions about how you take care of yourself. And I think that supports success. Now, just looking good is not enough to be successful. But working out, eating the right foods, secrete certain healthy biochemicals in your body, and it helps you make better decisions as opposed to having, like, cortisone or other things that cause stress and cause you to make poor decisions. So working out has a lot of benefits, and it does support your professional life also. It really does.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because I think I'm like in high school and stuff. I was like 6 foot, you know, just 140. But
wow, that's lean.
But after high school and stuff, I bulked up a bit, and I'm around, you know, just 160 now. So that's a good thing. And I feel like me, like, you know, just gaining, like, you know, muscle and stuff. I mean, kind of like, you know, just it. I feel like more confident stuff, and you, like, you know, and, like, you know, my speaking skills are a lot better, because at that time, like, when I was 140, I was always stuttering a lot at that time. But
right.
I guess the gym, like, helped me out so much with my confidence and, like, you know, speaking ability, and especially, like, I'm like what you said, I'm like the presence,
exactly.
Especially with the females and stuff, you know.
Exactly. And it's not just with women, it's your professional life. It's when you engage people, like, there is a certain level of respect and confidence that people will relate with that. It's not that I'm being judgmental, but we live in a country that looks at packaging, right? So how are you packaging?
Yeah.
And if you attempt to deny that and you let yourself be 100 pounds overweight, you better believe people are going to judge your packaging. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure and stuff. And, the comment says,
BCAAs. I don't know what that is. Do you? I don't know. What is a BCAA? Does anyone know?
It's like a supplement, like, I mean, like, helps you, like, recover better and stuff. It's called, you know, this branch,
branch chain amino acids.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Right. Okay, I've heard of, I used to compete on a bicycle. And when I say compete, you know, some days I'd ride 4 hours, and that's 4 hours in 100 miles in about 4 hours. So,
okay.
You know, I'd ride 300 to 400 miles a week. So that's, like, serious training. And I used to take a 4,000 milligram amino acids. I'd take two twice a day. And I stopped taking amino acids because I read and kept hearing that long-term amino acids were not good for your liver. So I just cut them out. I stopped taking. Now, I'm mentioning it because the amino acids supported me to be able to train really hard. So my diet had to be on point, sleeping, but without the amino acids, I just didn't, and I ate meat at that time. I wasn't a vegetarian. they were extremely important for me to be able to train consistently, you know, and I trained 7 days a week back then. There were no days off.
Holy crap, that's crazy. Wow, that's crazy. So, 7 times a week?
Yeah, I trained 7 days a week, and then, you know, you have races some days, so.
Yeah. I used to just work out 6 times a week in high school and stuff, you know, because of basketball training and stuff, you know. We had our practices and stuff for 2 hours, and, like, you know, and just right after and stuff, I went to the gym, and I did the exercise bike for about an hour to two, you know, and just hours and stuff. Because my goal at the time, you know, like, was to be, like, you know, just really conditioned and stuff, because I don't know if you watch basketball and stuff. Are you like a fan of the game and stuff?
I've never been a fan of basketball. I don't watch TV at all right now. But the sports I would watch would be football, bicycle racing, and boxing. Those are the sports that I would watch.
Okay, cool. I understand. Yeah, I mean, like, with the exercise bike and stuff, I mean, it gets you, like, in crazy shape, though. It does, actually. I lost like, you know, just weight for some reason. But that was in high school, though. But now I'm, like, you know, I'm trying to bulk up and stuff. I'm trying to, like, you know, just, like, I maintain it, like, you know, just 160 right now, because I feel like I'm just the perfect, like, you know, just.
If you have power, like, if you physically feel power where you are, stay where you are and just work with that. Right?
Yeah. Especially like with late days and stuff, I feel like, you know, there's, like, you know, just so much testosterone, you know, just pumping through my body and stuff. It's just, like, crazy. Late day.
You do deadlifts?
I do, like, a combination between squats and deadlifts and leg press, actually. So I
generally do deadlifts the same day I do back. So if you do deadlifts properly, it's really working with back.
Do you have a belt on or no?
Normally I do. I just recently broke my belt, and I bought that belt in 1997, so I did get my money's worth, and I bought it in Mexico, so it's high quality, but it just broke a couple of weeks ago, so.
You go to Walmart and stuff, I think they sell, like, gold.
Yeah, I did. They didn't have one my size when I went. That was about a week and a half ago, but I'll go again, and I'll check out. I think Modell's is closed, but Dick's, or I'll go to one of the other sporting goods stores.
Yeah, I mean, like, especially with the deadlifts and stuff, it, like, works your back and stuff, especially, you know. It works your back and stuff. It works your back, especially. And your core, you know, and just also too, yeah.
Yep. Some your hamstrings, you'll feel it a bit in your legs too.
Yeah,
deadlifts are great for building core power. A lot of people say their bench goes up when they deadlift. They just feel an overall sense of power. So, you know, going to do deadlifts, make sure someone teaches you how to do them properly, because you can damage.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because I've seen, like, these cross country kids in my high school and stuff, like, they don't know how to do, like, a deadlift and stuff, and they're arching their back too much and stuff, and I'm just like, wow, hey, you're gonna break your back, like, it's crazy. Yeah, but like, you know, just what else, like, you know, like, what they're gonna say and stuff. Oh, but yeah, but I know, you know, just also stuff, the way you dress, you know, how you're like your presentable stuff. I mean like in like a classroom setting also helps too. Like I remember you know, just wearing like a dress shirt in class to my presentation stuff, and I noticed that the whole class was, you know, just looking at me and stuff, because, you know, I was speaking fluid and stuff, and I was, you know, directing, like, on the class and stuff, you know what I'm saying by that? Yeah.
Your presence as a speaker is what you're talking
about. Yeah.
Right. So, see, and someone just wrote in a comment, a CEO who is in shape builds confidence in the mind of a shareholder.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I'm not saying whether it's right or not, but, you know, we live in a world, especially in the U.S., that it's all about packaging. So, you know, how you physically present yourself has an impact in how people may see your confidence and your ability to get things done. You may not like that.
Yeah, and also, like, I noticed that a lot of kids, like, my age and stuff, they're wearing, like, you know, just high designer brands and stuff, and I'm just, like, I understand sometimes, because it's, like, I don't know, they're, like, wearing, I'm, like, Gucci belt and stuff to, like, I'm impressed girls. I'm just like, man, cut that shit out, you know? Cut that shit out and save some money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some guys will learn the hard way. You know, that's, yeah, you can get women by wearing a lot of designer clothes, or you could be a guy who has, you know, a physical power and presence when you walk in a room. So you're going to attract two different kinds of women.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of like the, I'm like the formal kind, you know. I wear like a dress shirt or flannel and stuff, you know, and just all the time and stuff. And right. I know this. I mean, it helps out a lot. You know what I'm saying? It helps out a lot because, yeah.
Hold on one second. We have some good comments. Mr. Former, good to see you in the house. Has been a long time. Where have you been? We've had some good conversations. Miss your comments. Sudata, Roy, I'm not familiar with glutathione. So is that a branch chain amino acid? So, you know, I was saying that I used to take amino acids and they were 4,000 milligrams. I had to take two of them. They were so big that, they were like horse pills. You had to chew them. You couldn't swallow them. They were much too big. So what's the difference between branch chain? Because I know some amino acids are naturally occurring and you can get them in foods, and some are really difficult to get in foods. And you said glutathione is the body's master antioxidant. You will lose muscle and good overall health as you age. So do you know anything about glutathione?
Glutathione?
Right. In your biology class, do you study any of that?
I'm in human anatomy on just right now and stuff, and I don't think we learned that yet, but I'm gonna learn that and in the 300 course level though, but
okay, it's coming. All right. So
yeah, it's coming. So.
Well, this guy studied extensively nutrition. So, and Sudata, thank you for the Cash App. I just saw that. Thank you for that, for your support. Can you tell us glutathione? And I know you tried to come in here and several times your device wasn't connected. If you want to drop in here and educate us on this, because it sounds like you're saying that it's important men in keeping their testosterone up so that they don't lose muscle mass. And it must have an impact on overall health and aging. So, yeah, what can you tell us about that? That would be very useful for everyone.
It's a antioxidant. Oxidant. And they saw that GNC and stuff.
I think it's called glutamine. A lot of guys who lift, I think it's glutamine.
I think it's glutamine actually. Yeah, I think it's glutamine.
Glutamine, I think, may be different from what he's saying. Now, what I understand is glutamine is a great recovery amino acid. So guys, after they, like you said, you take a pre-workout, but then there are guys who take glutamine as a post-workout. And it supports the recovery.
Yeah.
It supports the recovery of muscle so that you recover faster.
Well, that means like I don't think you need it. I don't think it's necessary. I feel like all you need is a pre-workout and BCAAs. That's all. The other stuff. Creatine, it can be found in, you know, steak, fish, chicken, and et cetera.
What if you're a vegetarian? Can you get it in lentils or any other beans?
I think you can, actually. I mean, like, does chickpeas have creatine or no?
I don't know. I eat lentils. I'm a vegetarian. I eat lentils every day because they're the second highest in protein. Soybeans are the highest, and I just don't consume any soy at all. So I eat lentils instead.
Well,
if I'm out, I might eat black beans or chickpeas. But generally, I eat lentils, and I think lentils are high in iron also. But I eat them for protein, and I take away protein. I drink that three times a day. So when I'm training hard, I really do need, like,
what's the brand of your protein? Is it Optimum Nutrition? Is it Optimum Nutrition or is it
J Rob? I buy J Rob. That's the main brand.
Oh, really? Is that like from like on just Walmart or like the GNC or?
I buy it online. It's a little. I think it's a little bit expensive, but I buy it online, and it's been a lot cheaper. And plus, I get a 5-pound bag instead of a 1-pound. So, So I've tried working out without it, and I don't retain the same muscle.
Yeah.
So, I take it in the morning, I'll take it in the middle of the day, and I take it as soon as I finish working out as a way to reclaim.
Yeah. Yeah, because I used to, like, I mean, like when I was bulking up to, like, you know, just 160 and stuff, I used to, like, drink a lot of, like, protein shakes, probably, like, once or twice a day, actually, so.
Okay.
I think it's like a mass gainer. It's like a mass gainer. So it's like a, so it's a molecule. I'm in a cell, on the body.
Right. I think you're talking about the glutathione is a molecule in a cell. And it
does glutathione.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And I assume there are certain foods or certain foods. I wonder if it has it, or if you eat certain foods, will it increase your body's ability to produce more of it?
Oh yeah, for sure.
What does it do in terms of building muscle mass?
This is pretty advanced stuff, you know, just most of
the glutathione. Yeah. You're looking at glutathione or glutamine?
Glutathione.
Okay. What is it?
I think that's okay, so the benefits of glutathione are it reduces the symptoms of Parkinson's disease, and it improves, you know, insulin. resistance in, like, you know, just older people and stuff, and it improves paralysis and stuff.
Interesting. It sounds powerful then.
Yeah. I might look into it. Like, you know, just when I get older and stuff, I might have to take some.
Well, he said it's pretty advanced stuff, so most doctors don't know anything about it. So,
yeah.
I assume that it must be really good for working out then. I mean, how does that impact?
Yeah, I'm not really
amino
sure.
I guess that's a branch chain amino acid. Country boy, you asked the question, soy. So what is soy exactly? I don't really know. I understand soy has estrogen in it, and that's why I just stay away from soy, tofu. I stay away from all of that.
Is it working for us, or is it working for the guy that's trying to join here?
Yeah, it's still here. Let's see if I can add. There he is right there. What's going on, Sudata Roy?
What's going on?
All right. You connected finally. Perfect. Good. Oh, yeah. I hear you perfectly.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong here.
Well, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. If you have any other devices that are playing, like a computer, you have to turn down the volume. You might have your connection. You may not have good reception wherever you are. Go ahead, speak. Let's see how you come through. He dropped. His device is not connected. He's getting a bad connection wherever he is.
Yeah.
Well, he's got some pretty good comments, so I really want to hear what he has to say about this.
Mr. Santos, so what do you do for, like, you know, just work and stuff? Are you like a businessman, or are you just entrepreneur, or do you like investing in stuff in the stock market, or
I have no idea what I can hear you guys.
You could say in another lifetime. Long time ago, I did invest a lot in the stock market, and I'm a consultant, so I'm in the business of producing miracles. That is what I do. I produce miracles, and CEOs hire me when they're looking to produce a breakthrough, like some sort of quantum leap in the growth of their company, and they're just not sure how to do it with existing resources.
Okay.
So they hire me to help them create that breakthrough, and it usually looks like penetrating some untapped market, something they didn't know how to get to, creating a disruptive strategy. It might even be disruptive technology that they just didn't know how to get all the ideas together, and then transform the corporate culture so that the rest of the organization will effectively and profitably execute that breakthrough initiative.
If you're like a consultant stuff, they probably like pay you like I think at least like $100K. Like I mean like the CEOs have a lot of money, so they can, you know, just ship out some cash, you know, so I'm to help you out. Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. I think they pay you on stuff.
I have clients who have made literally tens of millions of dollars by working with me on projects that they just didn't know how to get off the ground. It was just sitting on a back burner. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So yes.
That's a great job right there.
Earn my keep is what I have to do. So some of Sudata said avoid soy, and he said avoid tap water as well. Yeah. Estrogen mimickers are also a problem for men, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the time today. I hope to see you. I'm in the future streams. I'm gonna join again. I'm in the future streams and stuff. So,
I love your participation, man. Love it.
Yeah, man. I've been a fan of for like a year now, so. I've been watching your stuff, and yeah.
You got to get some of your guys, you know, your age to come over and listen. They're going to have to be patient and kind of hear things through. And if they could engage me, even if they want to ask me tough questions, you know, especially if it's on a topic, I'd love to have conversations with them.
I mean, a lot of, you know, just guys my age and stuff, they're like, I'm not like, you know, just really like, you know, just wise, and I feel like they're like, I'm just immature and stuff, so, but I understand your perspective and stuff, but I understand, though.
Yeah, very mature. I mean, you know, for 18, even a lot of guys who are listening to the show, when they hear you, they also hear you as being a mature guy. So, you know, we look forward to you being a medical professional in the future, so that you can do great things in the world.
Yeah. I do like appreciate the help, though, but have a good one, Mr. Santos. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Hello. Take care. Have a good evening. So country boy, don't read. I don't know if most people read the labels. I know in the big cities here, maybe people are a little more savvy about this. And like New York, well, the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic area, we're very different from the rest of the country. California also, these people are very aware of looking at diet and ingredients. So I don't know about the rest of the country, though. Interesting. Oh, you're talking about from taking soy? Raw broccoli. Do not take, so you confuse me. Take raw broccoli. So you're saying don't take glutathione, or do, I thought you were saying it was good. Now you're saying it's not good. Which one is it? Or you should get it from foods. I understand you're saying it's produced in the cells. So look, Sudhara, let's do a show on that. And I like you said hermaphrodism. Hermaphrodism. Males turning into females. Is this through diet, eating too much estrogen, or I mean? Yeah, I'd like to hear about that. Glutathione therapy. So this is somewhat still in an experimental phase. So it sounds like you're saying it's having a positive impact. You're doing it with high-performing athletes. It builds muscle. And so what about, I understand when you take on more muscle, you could gain weight. Or is this clean muscle that you're building? And are you putting on weight? And I assume, I guess I have a lot of questions. How does it, I guess that affects performance, right? Making you a more explosive athlete. Is it illegal in sports? Well, even I'll have to check that out. No, I know you can hear me. I know that. That's why I'm asking questions. So you're going to have to, I'm not sure why your device is not connecting. Every time you try to connect, you get disconnected. So I'd love to do a show. Maybe you're using your phone. You'll have to do one from a laptop or a desktop so that you have a stable connection to a hard line instead of Wi-Fi or something. But yeah, we should talk about these studies that you're doing and we can present them. We had a guest earlier. We had a woman who came on and talked about your health. And she was making a really big point of environment and the people who are around you. And she has a book. You guys have seen it. She's got some good stuff in here. So, and we have, she's well-educated in nutrition, and we have someone else here, which it would have been great to have the two of you interact. It'd be like having two nuclear physicists talking about their profession. You would have to just break it down in dummy terms for the rest of us. So, guys, I'm gonna close this out. This was a great talk we had, and I always love having younger guys come on who are interested in developing themselves and having their head straight. And we had someone come on for that, and we got to talk about working out. And clearly, I work out on a daily basis, and my diet is important. I'm a vegetarian, not a vegan, so my diet is like really scientific. So I'm truly committed, and I understand the relationship between mind and body, and also between mind, body, and your physical presence and your ability to get things done, make decisions, present yourself in the world. They all really work together. If you look at relationships and being able to clearly comprehend what people are saying to you or how they're engaging you, the cleaner your diet, the more physically fit and healthier your body, you have all kinds of great chemicals. Someone talked about cortisol being a big problem with this COVID now, which is a stress hormone. So there are things that you can eat. I'm not a nutritionist, but I saw there's something called adaptogens, and adaptogens will help release your cortisol. So adaptogens, if you are concerned about stress, you can Google which foods have adaptogens, and it can help you have a healthier diet. So, you can talk about relationships and sex and all that, except if you're not taking care of your body through diet and thinking more effective or progressive thoughts, healthy thoughts, I'll say. Healthy diet, healthy foods. A food can be medicine or like medicine. Your thoughts can also have a huge impact on the health of your body. And working out, doing something to physically move your body, which keeps the blood flowing in a way that promotes a healthy body and healthy mind. So I'd like to see you guys remain in great health. And if you haven't subscribed to my channel, subscribe, share this video. And I thank you for your support, everyone, guys. Until next week, thank you for joining me here on Instagram. Thank you, everyone. I'll see you next week, and take care, and good night. Good night, everyone.